chapter 4. It's on page 877. Covering the territory today of 2 Kings and the way in which God spoke to them. First in chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel 4, reading verses 1 to 18. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dreams for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till 7 times pass by for him. The decision is announced by messengers. The Holy One declares the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you." Well, we know that there is only one who sits on the throne, and we're going to stand and sing before the throne of God above.
Please stand. Here we go. Droopy microphone syndrome.
The throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and hears me. My name is graven on his hand, my name is written on his heart.
Please be seated for our second reading.
You don't have to go very far for the second reading. Basically, flick the page. Page 879, it's Daniel chapter 5, starting at verse 1, going to verse 16. We'll look at the second of the kings who got his message. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to those wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods." "King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man, Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom."
Well, leave your Bibles open at Daniel 4 and 5. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you that you speak to us, that you don't leave us in the dark as to who you are. We pray that you will give us ears to listen as we listen to your word now, and that you will move in our hearts so that we will trust you, obey you, and follow you. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, when it comes to life, there are many things that we can be deluded with. I was once deluded into thinking that people mistook me for Tom Cruise. It was a huge delusion. Some brave souls here may well be thinking that Aussies were deluded into thinking that they could win the Ashes. There might be well, I thought there'd be an even braver soul, but he chickened out and left, who thinks that us Aussies were deluded into thinking that we could win the Bledisloe Cup last night. But seriously, the biggest delusion of all is the delusion that we are self-sufficient. It is seen in that most famous of quotes celebrating humanity, when a deckhand aboard the Titanic said, "Madam, God himself could not sink this ship." It is seen in the concept of the self-made man. Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, was one of the first to speak of the concept. In his autobiography, he describes his way from a poor, unknown son of a candle maker to a very successful businessman and a highly acknowledged member of the American society. Franklin creates the archetype of someone coming from low origins who, against all odds, breaks out of his inherited social position, climbs up the social ladder, and creates a new identity for himself. Self-sufficiency is at the heart of the American dream. Now, you may well be a self-made man or woman. You may be very self-sufficient, proud of your achievements, lacking for little. Then this morning is for you. On the other hand, life may have dealt you some harsh body blows, and you have come to think that you are not self-sufficient after all. Well, then this morning is for you as well. Because as we look at two ancient kings during the time of Daniel, we will see that there are only two ways to live this life. One is the way of self-sufficiency with the Bob the Builder catch cry. Can we do it? Yes, we can. And the other, well, you will just have to wait and see what that is. Well, the first king is King Nebuchadnezzar that we've been meeting in recent weeks. And if ever anyone could claim to be self-sufficient, it was him. He was a great man, a powerful man, who needed nobody or anything to make his life complete. And yet he was humbled by God on more than one occasion. He describes himself, like many would today, in verse 4. He is contented and prosperous. He starts out by telling us his position in regard to God after the events of chapter 4 have occurred. So we read in verse 3, "How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation." See, this is a little bit like the detective show, where you see who the murderer is, and the rest of the time we come to see how they work it out. See, we are told at the outset of chapter 4 what Nebuchadnezzar thinks, but the rest of the chapter deals with what brought him to that position in the first place. Well, as in chapter 2, he had a dream which troubled him. Well, more than that, actually, it made him afraid. And the dream we had read out for us. And then in verse 19 and following, Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar, interprets the dream. So if you've got the NIV, read with me from verses 19 to 22. So let's read together. "Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, 'Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you.' Belteshazzar answered, 'My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth." The king is the tree. He has grown great and strong. His greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and his dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Here is the self-made sufficient man, a most powerful man. And pride gets the better of him, we read from verse 29. As the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" There, in a nutshell, is the delusion of self-sufficiency. Look at what I can do. Look at what I have achieved. And from verse 24, we have God's judgment recorded about this self-sufficient man. "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." This man who thought that he was a god, this man who was suffering the delusion of self-sufficiency, must be reduced to acting like an animal so as to realise that he is not a god at all and to see that he is only a human being. What Nebuchadnezzar needed to realise in his self-sufficient pride was that he didn't rule, but that one greater than he did. That the Most High is the sovereign over the kingdoms of mankind and gives them to anyone he wishes. Verse 26 tells us that the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. He needed to acknowledge his dependence on the king above all kings. He needed to acknowledge that heaven rules. And in verse 27, we see the grace of God with an invitation to the king to repent. So read that with me. "Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue." From verse 31, we see that a voice came from heaven declaring that his authority was taken away from him and that he will live with the animals until he acknowledges that God is most high among the sovereigns. And verse 33, immediately what has been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. And so we need to remember, never doubt the word of God. What God says has and will come to pass. In the verses that follow, we see the wise way to respond when you realise that you are not self-sufficient. So let's read together verses 34 and 35. "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honoured and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Nebuchadnezzar, in being humbled by God, responded with acknowledging who God was, that he lives forever, that his dominion is an eternal dominion, that his kingdom endures from generation to generation, that all the peoples of the earth, including a King Nebuchadnezzar, including a Barack Obama or a Kevin